Welcome, everyone, to the Screamcast episode 61. I am your host, Sean DeRinger, and with me, unfortunately, is Brad Henderson.
Can we just call it Shitty One?
Jesus.
Is this episode, gonna be episode Shitty One?
Ha ha.
Hey, I have plenty more episodes to say shitty. Shitty two, shitty three. I'm going to have a great time. I'm happy to be here.
Joining us back from the dead is Brian Sauer.
Hello.
We're glad you're alive after your pneumonia.
Yes, it was not fun. I'm still not quite 100%, but getting there.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know. We've been trying to get you on for a while, and unfortunately, sickness came into your life.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you are beating it with a flaming sword of medicine.
Yes.
Is that a Vin Diesel reference for The Last Witch Hunter?
Yeah, because I was in one of the opening trailers.
That's how they sold him. That's how they sold him on that movie. Gosh. Hey, you want to be in a movie? No. It's not Fast and Furious. Like, you get to hold a sword that's on fire. Yeah, I'll do it.
Exactly. That looks horrible. Horrible.
Can I look like I just did like two bottles of NyQuil and turn slowly to the camera? Dude has stock in NyQuil, dude.
I swear to God. All I know is when the Entourage trailer played, I just heard a bunch of dude bros going, "Yeah, bro."
That's like, that movie's like 10 years too late. It's so sad. Like, I do not get it. Like, I remember them talking about an Entourage movie. Dude, I was, like, still in college when they were talking about Entourage. I forgot about it. I don't keep up with anything from Entourage anymore. I mean, yeah, I did watch the show, but, I mean, come on. Like, that trailer is super unfunny. It's literally a bro movie. I understand, like, the TV show is a little bit of a bro TV show as well. But I don't know. Like, there was a certain, you know, asshole charm that the show had. But it doesn't have that anymore. You know?
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah, I almost feel like that asshole charm thing is sort of not even in vogue anymore. I don't know.
No, it's not, because, you know, it's become kind of the bro culture and, you know, bro culture, it's funny to say that. But, you know, it's not funny. It's just, you know, because it's gotten to the point where it's like that whole meninist bullshit that people made up. It's the whole, you know, women suck, men are, you know, it's perspired from that, it seems. So when you go back to something like Entourage, like, you just feel like that's what they're riding the wings of, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That's what it felt like to me. I was just like, ugh, this is gross.
Yeah, whatevs. All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm glad to have all three of us back on the show today, but we need to know what's on your doorstep, guys.
Holy cow. I almost forgot.
We'll get the door.
Nothing.
Okay.
Moving along. I mean, I have a few things, but
yeah,
no.
I got a couple. It was a light week for me.
Oh, please, go first.
You're relentless.
He's a relentless gentleman.
Yeah, I know.
I'll go first. You went first last time, dickhead, so I'm going now.
I don't volunteer to go first, though. You kind of just tell me to go first.
Yeah, it's all good.
Because you're a gentleman.
Well, today I'm saying I'm going first.
Okay.
All right. Jesus. And then Brian's going next, and you're going last.
Damn.
I'm going to pull a Bill Olson on you.
No. If you did that, you would just fucking cancel the show.
Refund.
Show's over.
Refund. We should just part ways.
I'm going to post a show for an hour and then take it down.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's too funny. All right. I got a few things, not too much, but I've been wanting to talk about this for a couple of weeks and I keep forgetting. But Scorpion had put out Stripped to Kill and A Candle for the Devil And I haven't watched Candle for the Devil yet, but I did watch Stripped to Kill. And this is a good old 80s flick that I had never seen before. When I saw the poster, I knew I was in. The poster is a woman in a bikini dancing on a dagger like it's a stripper pole. Amazing. The movie is actually really stinking good, and it was directed by...
really stinking good? What is this, an edited podcast?
Watch really your language.
Fucking good.
God damn it.
I don't know, sometimes I edit myself.
I just had a blast with this film.
Anyway, the movie was directed by Kat Shea, which is pretty awesome. I didn't know that it was directed by her, and of course she's known for The Rage, Carrie 2. But no, she...
Yeah, she moved up.
She was in Barbarian Queen. Anyway, she was in with the whole Roger Corman stuff, and then this was her first movie that she got. She basically talked Roger Corman into directing, and anyway, it was actually really good. It reminded me kind of like Brian De Palma a little bit, early Brian De Palma stuff.
No, it's totally like Brian De Palma shit.
And it's about basically a hot detective goes undercover as a stripper to catch a killer, and that's all you need to know about it. It's great. It's full of energy. It's the strip scenes are fun because it's not like just like, ooh, I'm doing a sexy striptease. It's like acrobatics and like actual dance numbers. Like they actually put some time into choreographing these, which is pretty incredible to kind of think about. But it wasn't like this underworld sleazy thing that I thought it was going to be. I think Kat Shea brings a lot of like finesse to a movie like this. And I believe the movie was her idea. It was the only way she can get Roger Corman behind the film was to have a plot like this. And I think it works, man. I think everyone should check it out. I think it's not just a slice of sleaze. I think it's a really good film. And with
Kay Lenz, right?
Yes, Kay Lenz.
Kay Lenz is super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. She's fantastic in it. And anyway, worth a watch. So I wanted to bring that up.
Well, hopefully Scorpion can do Strip to Kill 2, because that would be fun. Because Strip to Kill 2 is way better than Strip to Kill.
Really?
That'd be awesome. I'm in.
Yeah, Maria Ford's in that one.
Very cool.
So.
Next up, I finally watched, for the first time ever, guys, Steven Spielberg's first film, Duel.
Ooh.
This was on my list of shame, pretty high up on my list of shame. And I had always been kind of waiting for an HD release, and then the Spielberg box set came out, and I wasn't about to pay for that box set because I own every other one of Spielberg's movies, pretty much, except for a couple odds and ends, like Sugarland Express is another one that I have not seen, and I kind of wanted the set for that, but I wasn't going to buy it since I own everything else. But, guys, Duel blew me away.
Did it blow you, though?
No. You always have to go there,
Did Dennis Weaver come out of the television and give you a rim job?
Yuck.
Disgusting. Anyway.
With his mustache.
Oh, my God. The movie's basically Jaws, kind of like Jaws, but with a truck. And I like how they keep the driver in the shadows. They don't show the driver. It's all about this truck that's terrorizing this guy who's on this road trip, which, like, if all that shit started going down, I would just turn around and go home. I'd be like, you know what? This business trip isn't worth it. Screw it. I'm out. But he keeps on going. And I hear that Spielberg used the sound of near the end when the truck crashes or whatever. He uses that when at the end of Jaws, when, spoiler alert, Jaws gets blown up. So, but it was really good. I don't know why this eluded me for so long, but Spielberg's just a master, and it's even evident on his like first film, you know, on the way he does things and everything. So the next one I need to cross off my list is Sugarland Express. That's one of the other Spielberg movies I have not seen, with Goldie Hawn. So hopefully that'll happen in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no,
it's good, not great.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's very forgettable. Like I maybe can't even have like a great opinion because it was something that I watched and then like immediately after it left me. So, but no, Duel's always been a favorite. I'm obsessed with like trucker and road games, road games in general. Like road games, Joyride, all mm-hmm. that shit. Like anytime there's trucks involved, and even like Dean Koontz's, I mean, there's not a truck, it's a white van, but anything on the road, like stalking wise, I'm always down because I don't know. It's just something terrifying about that. It's so easy to get away though, but I don't know what it is. Like it just draws me in. So yeah, Duel early on I saw and I just loved. But I mean, that's like a great like double feature with like road games or like even Joyride with Paul Walker. Yeah. I enjoy the hell out of that.
Yep. Yeah, it's good. It's it way better than I thought it would be. And then do you guys notice the Spielberg's reflection in the phone booth?
Yeah.
Here in the movie, I'm like, is that intentional? Because it's so, maybe it's just because it's in HD now, but it was so not noticeable, or so it was so noticeable. Because all of a sudden Spielberg's face just shows up in the reflection, you know.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought that up as on this segment because I was going to bring it up when we talk about Satan's Blade because of the aspect ratio.
Okay, right.
Because Duel was originally made for television,
right?
But they put it to widescreen.
Well, they released it in theaters overseas, but yeah, it was shot for TV. Obviously.
Well, that's when they he shot those extra sequences.
Yeah,
so
because it was so popular, then they released it theatrically. Huh. But still, I mean, like originally when it was put out, it was on just a made for TV, which is kind of like I know it's like his first movie, but you think somebody would watch it and be like, probably put this in theaters.
I know.
This is like really, really good.
It's like the best TV movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I still think it's one of his best movies ever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be something fun to talk about is, and on the later show, of course, is the made-for-TV movies, like in the 70s or 80s, are completely theater-worthy and mm-hmm. like legitimately like great movies. And it's sad that we don't have that anymore when it's goes to TV or made-for-TV, it's, you know, frowned upon.
Yeah,
but back in the day, like those films were absolutely astounding, and they were really, really good. I mean, fucking The Midnight Hour is super underrated, and that was made for television.
Hmm.
Brian, have you seen that? It's got one of the best
Burton.
Casts. Yeah, but that movie is just unbelievably great, and it just sucks that it never actually went anywhere.
Interesting.
I hope that gets a Blu-ray, but I don't know if the elements are necessarily. Like,
it's Anchor Bay. You think they would probably, since they're going through and putting out older films, maybe they'll dish this one out. I hope so.
Yeah, because it's super pricey right now. I've been wanting to pick it up. I should have picked it up, but I didn't.
Huh.
Yeah, but.
All right. I just got a couple more here, and I'm done. This one
I like your pick so far.
This one I wanted to bring up because I kind of I saw it at Best Buy for like $12, and of course it's the week that Mad Max Fury Road came out, and it's another Australian apocalyptic movie, so I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to watch this, and I looked at some reviews while I was in the store, and it looked like it was getting some good reviews, so I took a chance on it. It's called These Final Hours, and it just came out last week. Australian kind of...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
End of the World.
That just came out?
It just came out on Blu-ray, yeah.
Oh, Blu-ray, okay. I was about to say, I thought I saw that almost a year ago.
No, it's been playing like festivals and stuff like that. It's directed by Zach Hilditch, and starring a bunch of actors I haven't seen before, but the acting's top-notch. Basically, the setup is Australia has basically 12 hours to live. The apocalypse has happened. Everywhere else on Earth has been scorched. Basically, Australia is the last in line to get hit with this nuclear whatever, and everyone knows it, and so everyone's kind of – Australia's fallen into mayhem. People are kind of choosing what thing to do on their last 12 hours. And this one guy, he wants to –
Sex.
That happens, yes. Partying. He leaves his girlfriend to go to a party because all he wants to do is party, get fucked up and party. And that's all he cares about. And he doesn't want to stay with her because it's not worth it, you know. But as he's on his way to this huge party, he – runs across this little girl that's been kidnapped by these two bastards, basically. And he has a choice to make. Do I go to this party? Do I, you know, have a little bit of humanity left and rescue this girl. And he ends up rescuing the girl, and the movie goes from there. And it's a really cool film. Like, the setup's really great. It's has a huge, like, I love how they kind of wrestle with, like, what would you do? Like, if you knew you were going to die within, like, you know, 6 hours, like, would you hold on to your humanity, or would you just do whatever you wanted to do? And it's kind of, the main character wrestles with this throughout the film, and it's a really great look at that kind of scenario, like where is our humanity, you know? And but the movie's like solidly acted. The little girl, I don't know her name, because I don't see any pictures here of her. But I don't know. But she's like really stinking good. And sometimes kids can bring down a movie. She elevates the film because she's such a good actress. And so I think the movie's worth checking out. I think. They're selling it as this like post-apocalyptic or whatever, or apocalyptic kind of like effects film. And like even one of the quotes says like best special effects ever. And it's like no special effects in the movie. I don't know who wrote that quote, but there's like maybe like 10 seconds of effects in the whole film. But it's more of a drama within this world and in this scenario. But it's good. It gets tense. It's very interesting, and it comes highly recommended for me. So,
yeah, I mean, it's been probably a couple years since I've seen it, but yeah, I really enjoyed that one too.
Nice.
So, but I honestly can't remember a thing about it right now. Cool. I do remember kind of the little girl is like red hair, right?
Yes.
Yep. Like reddish hair. Yeah.
She's like, it's super, super good.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
Good pick, Sean. Good All right. pick.
Brian, good
What
sir.
Else you got?
That's it, man.
Oh, Brian.
I did watch one other one, but I watched Vampiros Lesbos, and I think Brian's going to – Brian watched – we were going to try to talk about him this week, but your contact fell through. Brad didn't get his mail.
Yeah.
He went to the wrong person. So we weren't able to cover those two this week, but I think Brian watched them, so I can throw in my 2 cents if Brian talks about them.
Okay.
But
you don't sound too thrilled.
Me or him?
About talking about those movies.
Yeah. No, they're, you know. Yeah, let's get into that.
I told you.
No. I mean, I'll just knock that out first. Mm-hmm. You know. I'm not the world's biggest Jess Franco fan. I think Brad's in the same camp.
And I've never seen any of his films, so.
Yeah, I've only seen a handful. Mostly because I'm not compelled. He seems like an acquired taste, and like coffee or beer or something, which you know I like those, but some people don't. And he just seems like there's certain cinephiles that like him.
I was like, old Wild Turkey whiskey.
Yeah, something like that. More like that. Yeah, he's just, I don't know, man. He's a visual guy, but his movies are, at least the ones I've seen, can get kind of boring and pretentious. And I guess I really, really need to be in the right mood. So I liked Vampiros Lesbos considerably more than She Killed in Ecstasy. I watched both of them. And, you know, Vampiros Lesbos is a classic, I guess, of sorts, a cult favorite, and I had been meaning to see it. I had only known about it since, like, 2000, I think, when the first Synapse DVD came out. I was working at a DVD store, and people kept renting it, and it was, like, a big deal, and I was like, what the hell is this movie? I mean, the title seems to indicate something provocative, but, you know, and it's, yeah, it just feels like, I don't know. The nudity and the sex in the movies feels like really like to me, I don't know, very like middle school. I don't know. It just feels very immature dude's idea of like this will be sexy. But maybe it's just because, you know, we're just desensitized now to that sort of thing, and it would have seemed much more racy and much more artistic when those films came out. I don't know. But yeah, Vampiros Lesbos, I'd give a soft recommend, maybe. She Killed in Ecstasy, kind of boring, I gotta say. I mean, once the setup goes, I mean, it's basically like this woman's husband is a scientist, and he's experimenting on fetuses and stuff, and the board that is in charge of his, I don't know, the money that he gets for his research basically not only cans his money, but also says, you're just awful, and we're gonna, you know, get it so you can't practice medicine at all. And so then he goes crazy and kills himself, and then the wife goes after everybody that was on the board, and it just kind of takes a long time to get where it's going. So I don't know, Sean, what did you think?
No, I didn't watch it. Once Brad said he didn't get his mail, I was like, well, fuck that. I'm not gonna go out of my way this week. I'll get to it because I want to write. I got it from Severance, so I got to write my reviews on him. So I'll get to it probably this week and get my reviews written. But I kind of, you know, put it back up on the shelf.
Yeah. No rush.
So.
So anyway, but the discs are really nice. I guess I don't
mean
to.
Packaging's amazing. I mean, the packaging's amazing. Severin knocked it out with the packaging.
Yeah, no, this is actually one of their, you know, nicer Blu-ray sets. I mean, you know, one of them comes with three soundtracks. Actually, the soundtracks are a highlight. They're a little mismatched to the movies, yeah. But they're like very, very groovy. You know, very like, yeah, man. Yeah. So they're
definitely 70s.
Yeah. So that's definitely, I think, part of the reason people like the movies is because the music is so good. But yeah, I mean, and you know, there's some nice extras. There's an interview with Franco on one of them I watched, and an interview with this woman who's like a scholar of the Soledad. I forget her name. The actress. Who died really tragically, which is kind of sad because she is good, and I see, you know, why he was into her and why he was trying to make her a star and everything. But anyway,
yeah, Soledad Miranda.
Yes. Yeah. So no, but they're nice packages. I, you know, as far as the that sort of thing goes, highly recommended for people that are interested in these movies. Definitely pick them up. You know, Severin's great.
And one of the better uses of a slipcase. I always say it. People are always like, I can't believe you throw away your slipcases, Sean. But I was like, I keep the ones that are like have artistic merit, and these are cool. Like these work. You know?
Yeah, I almost feel like if you get rid of them, it just doesn't.
No, yeah,
you got it. You got to keep them.
You have to
for
keep
sure.
This. Yep, it's part of the design.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, some other stuff. I watched Zardoz.
Yes.
Which I hadn't seen in a while, and which I kind of love. I don't know, man. It's just such a weird movie, and such a movie that you just go, wow, this, again, but we've probably said it a lot, but just could never be made now, you know? I mean, it's with a major star at the time, you know? I mean, it's just such a bizarre combination of, like, I think I said, like, Logan's Run and Planet of the Apes, kind of, but then... I don't know. It's just super weird and highly recommended.
The penis is evil.
Yes, guns are good. Yeah, no,
best
it's
lines ever.
Yeah, it's just got a great opening, and if you're not on board after the opening, I don't know if the movie's for you. But Connery's really good in it. Anyway, so there's that. Then I watched the upcoming Scream Factory Animal Attack double features. Food of the Gods and Frogs and Empire of the Ants and Jaws of Satan. And I really like Bird Eye Gordon for whatever reason, cause he's, you know, I think I first got to know him through Mystery Science Theater and some cheesy movies he did, cause he likes to do, you know, kind of cheesy effects, you know, like in the case of Food of the Gods, like there's a scene where some giant rats attack a VW bug and it's clearly regular sized rats and a toy. You know, or model VW. So there's a lot of that, and that's a lot of fun. I watched, and also I like Marjo Gortner, who is just a really odd looking dude that had a little heyday in the 70s, and he's the lead in Food of the Gods.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. I watched Frogs with my daughter, which was super fun because she was like, she kept being like, she's got a weird, like macabre streak in her where she kind of wants to watch. Not people get killed, that sounds really freaky, but like, you know, just like when I tell her, like, this is a movie about frogs that, you know, get people, kill people, and she's just like, okay, when's that gonna happen? And it doesn't really, there's like only one frog-related death in the movie, But it's not a very scary movie, and I can just talk her through it. I'm just like, okay, I think this person might get it here, you know? And then they'll die in some stupid way, and she just kind of thought it was funny. So we watched that, and then we watched Empire of the Ants together, which was kind of fun because, you know, they're these giant ants, and she, you know, she was very – she kind of gets into, like – she gets mad at me when movies are kind of scary, but she also just doesn't want to turn them off. And she – so she's got that horror movie nice. Gene in her, I think, which is proud, makes me proud. So, but anyway, Empire of the Ants is super fun, I think. And that's another Bird Eye Gordon movie, you know, with giant ants and a crazy, like, anyway, there's a crazy twist in it that's kind of silly. And then I just watched Jaws of Satan yesterday, and that was okay. Not as good as I remembered. But you know, these are great. I know they have Tentacles and Reptilicus coming. Yeah. And I want more of this stuff. I love the Animal Attacks movies.
I have all these on pre-order.
They're just a lot of fun. I just finished watching X, The Man with X-Ray Eyes, and Premature Burial, a couple Kino Lorber Studio Classics, Roger Corman / Ray Milland movies. And both of those are good, especially X, The Man with X-Ray Eyes is a really cool, I don't know, it's like Corman starts with this idea of like, oh, this dude can see through stuff. And then, of course, there's a scene where he's at a party and everybody's naked and they don't show any nudity, but, you know, that he sort of titillates, but then he takes it like one step further and like, what would happen to this guy that, you know, how could he ever sleep and where would his vision stop? And would he be able to see like into some crazy unknown part of the universe? And, you know, would it drive him crazy? And he just kind of goes, it's an ambitious take, especially for a drive-in movie. And Ray Milland's really good, and he sort of lends, like, it. I love the stuff he did with Vincent Price, but Ray Milland has just a different feeling, especially in Premature Burial, where he's just this dude, it's another Poe film, and he's sort of afraid that he's going to be buried alive, and he's really grumpy. That's one thing Ray Milland does really well, is just be really grumpy. So, anyway, there's that. And then I watched Jurassic Park 3 with my family last night, which I love, and which was just to get me psyched for Jurassic World, which is coming out in a couple weeks.
Nice.
And Lady Hawk on Blu-ray from Warner Archive, which looks amazing and awesome. Is still a lot of fun. Highly recommended.
Awesome. I can't wait to watch mine. We'll probably do a family movie night with that one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that with my family too.
Awesome.
So that's it for me.
Cool, man.
Hi. Brad, you're still awake, Brad. Sorry.
No, it's like I had nothing to say about those Animal Attack movies because that's like, I don't know, that's something that never really intrigued me whatsoever.
I understand.
It's kind of I don't know, it's just a weird, you know, I mean, I've seen some of them. I've seen, what's the name of the Killer Bunny one?
Night of the Lepus.
Oh, let's see that.
Yeah. God. You know, I've seen that, you know, I've seen Reptilicus, you know, Food of the Gods. I'm a fan of Food of the Gods Part 2 just because it's fucking insane.
Nah.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
Which I'd be stoked, but I think Lionsgate, Food of the Gods Part 2.
The black hole of Lionsgate.
Damn it.
Well, I think, yeah, I'm looking at my tapes right now and it says, actually, you know what? Huh. Well, MGM owns Food of the Gods, right? Is that how that was released?
Yeah.
See, my Food of the Gods tape actually says Vestron, and that Vestron titles actually went over to Lionsgate, so maybe something happened in between that. But, yeah, I think Lionsgate owns Food of the Gods Part 2.
Damn it.
I know. I wish everybody could see it just to, like, there's all there, at the Alamo Draft House, there's this PSA, this no talking PSA that happens. And it's the scene in the film where the doctor goes up to this room and they are going to go check on this kid, but this kid's like giant. You know, he's like 10 feet tall, but he's like a little kid. And he comes out of the bedroom and he's like, hey, Timmy. We're just here to see you. He's like, I'd like you to get the fuck out of here. You know? And then the PSA is like, don't talk or Timmy will tell you to get the fuck out of the theater. But anyways, it's such a, like, the whole movie is batshit nuts like that. So I'm hoping that eventually gets some type of, you know, even a DVD release would be nice.
Nice.
I don't really have, too much, like, physical, what's on your doorstep, but cause I've watched a lot of VOD recently cause I go through little spurts of, you know, back and forth depending on, you know, I let it build up a little bit and I dish out everything on VOD. But one physical media I have, which is another apocalyptic, film, which, it's fantastic. It's really good. It's called The Rover. And
oh,
it has,
yeah.
It has, Twilight in it, Robert Pattinson, and, man, I'm really bad with names, and Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
And it is a apocalyptic, everything's done over with, and it's just about a guy that's on the road, and he gets his car stolen, and he goes after it because something's in that car that's extremely important to him. And it's not like an action movie. It's more or less a relationship because he teams up with a brother of one of the guys in the car that has kind of maybe, I guess this even will say like a learning disability. He's funky.
Yeah, he's a little off.
He's a little off, mm-hmm. but he kind of, even though Guy Pearce is this cold-hearted kind of prick, he friends him in a way, and it almost becomes like a buddy road trip for a second. but yeah, it's really decent. It's got quite the build up and such a killer ending mm-hmm. that I personally loved. I think a lot of people might be like, what the fuck? But I really, really enjoyed kind of that cold ending.
Yes.
So that comes highly recommended. Some of the other things that I watched, I finally watched Oren Pile. I don't know how to say his fucking Paranormal Activity dude. he made a movie in 2009 called Area 51, and it's been shelved until like yesterday. and it hit VOD. So I immediately wanted to watch that because I'm obsessed with the UFOs and aliens and shit. And I think one of our listeners, Dead Air Jeff, is uh-huh. that one of them?
Yeah.
He put it best. He said it should have stayed classified. I give him mad props for that because that's probably one of the funniest things ever. So I did not make that up. Jeff, what? How do you say his last name? It's something.
Knopka. I think Knopka.
Knopka.
Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will. I'll correct you if you're wrong. But it's a found, you know, he carries over because, I mean, Paranormal Activity came out in 2007. So immediately, you know, he put his shit together to make another, found footage film, but it doesn't flow right. It feels like maybe Area 51 was made before Paranormal Activity. And you would think that, hey man, we got, you know, 6 years on this movie. Let's maybe update the special effects. I don't think this film was touched since then. Like, I'm watching it, some of the special effects happen and some of the gags, and I'm like, good lord. Like, this is really, really bad. And it's just not a very good movie. Like, it feels like a movie that I would have wrote when I was 12, being, like, obsessed with Area 51, because these kids break into Area 51. Break into Area 51, a government facility. And, like, they try really hard, like, to milk of, like, how they do it. And I'm like, guys, like, seriously, like, this is something that I would have thought about, you know, because you think, oh, man, I'm going to make myself invisible and I'm going to go through and get into Area 51 with a code card. Bitch, please. but anyways, yeah, the movie's fairly, fairly boring. And if you're looking for anything alien-esque, no spoiler alert, but you are not going to get what you think you're going to get. It's just very drawn out, very boring. I mean, they don't get to Area 51 until the last, like, 20 minutes of the movie. They make the trailer seem like they're in Area 51 the whole time, and it's,
of course.
I don't know, it's definitely, they're trying to milk that, you know, oh, we're in Area 51 battling aliens or some bullshit. So yeah, not great. I mean, there's a couple creepy sequences toward the end, but other than that, no, it doesn't come recommended. Another kind of found footage. Like it does like a found footage esque. I mean, most of it is, but there's every so often there's a couple sequences where they drift off from that, and that was called The Pyramid, which is written and directed by Alexandre Aja's right hand man, that Gregory Le Sevier, I think is his name. Who, you know, writes basically, he wrote Maniac and, you know, Help with the Hills Have Eyes and all Alexandre Aja's films. So I had high hopes for this because I kept on reading that a few people, like, as long as you can, you know, get past the kind of the awful special effects, you'll be okay. This is on par. I talked about that one film, Dark Hall, with Tom Sizemore about like the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
This is very much like that. Like, wow. We're watching a studio movie, basically. I mean, because Fox put this out. This is a wide-release movie that when it came out. Once you see what is stalking them, you just sit there and you ponder. Like, immediately I thought, what was the audience thinking when they saw this? Like, if I was in the audience, like, in the theater and I saw this, I would say, what the fuck is happening? Like, it is, I don't want to spoil anything, but they literally use the fucking, like, real-life cat pharaohs. Do you you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Like in Stargate, their armor that comes across their face, and it's like those, like, wolf-like-looking cat things?
Yeah.
It's legitimately one of those. And it's no one in a mask. It's like a real monster. And I'm like, but it is fucking, you know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation special effects on these things. It just looks so silly, so fake. And it's just one of those, we're stuck in a pyramid running around being chased by this thing. And it's just, I don't know. It's just not there. And I understand kind of, I don't understand the people that liked it that wanted, you know, you just get by the special effects, you'll be okay. Cause that's not one of these things. It's just, it's just so weird coming from this guy who, I mean, I really love, this duo, you know, Alexandra and, Alexandre Aja and this Gregory, Lucifer guy. Like everything they've done, I've fairly, like, much enjoyed. I mean, even Horns, I enjoyed the biggest part of Horns I enjoyed. It was just kind of the ending I was a little let down.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never consider it a bad film. I was just kind of shocked. But, you know, kind of how the goofy special effects are in Horns?
Yeah, well, it seems like Alexandre Aja doesn't know how to do CGI very well. Because even, like, Piranha, those looked horrible. But it was kind of a cheesy movie anyway, you know what I mean?
But they see that, yeah, with that, it looked bad, but they can get away with it.
Right.
You know, stuff like Horns, when it's such a serious, like, for the most part, I mean, the film's a very serious, has a very serious tone, and they pull that kind of bullshit at the end, it's like, gross. You know, and that's kind of how this one's really bad. It's like every film that they do since then, they can't, you know, because, I mean, everything was pretty much practical in High Tension and looks really good. But ever since then, they've kind of drifted apart from that, almost doing like a Robert Rodriguez thing, like, oh, it's so much easier if we just do computer graphics and computer animation with it. And that's what made me not want to watch any films by Robert Rodriguez ever again.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the path that these guys are going, because I don't mind a pyramid movie about the whole premise. It's like, whatever, I can dig it. But once you actually get in there, you got to keep me entertained and keep my attention. And I understand why this thing bombed.
Yeah.
So, that was not recommended. Another film that I watched, I think this is my last one, was a sci-fi, it's hard to believe this isn't like a billion-dollar movie, and it just got a straight to like VOD release. It's called Infamy, and it is about a group of soldiers that are supposed to it's this weird like linear time that they have. There's an outbreak of a biological experiment on this kind of like an LV-42, an alien, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like a mining facility. There's a biological experiment that goes wrong. But when these guys travel, they're only gone for a minute. But when they come in, but when they're there, they're like for 24 hours.
Yeah. Oh, it's very similar to Interstellar. Interstellar has like
some kind of weird, like time continuum yeah. thing that they're in. So they send these first group of soldiers and then they come back like 30 seconds later and they're screaming and they're shooting themselves in the head and, you know, just all this like crazy, like event horizon, like terror that they're going through. So then this next group is getting ready to like go in with them and see what else is going, cause they're kind of like, they're more military badass dudes. But, whenever those very first guys come back, they have the actual biological outbreak with them. So then everybody else starts getting affected. And so they have to jump real quick, like do an illegal jump to actually the bad place because where they're stationed right now is going to self-destruct because of the contamination. So they have to go from one contaminated area to another contaminated area. So they have to do an illegal jump to go to this awful place. And then in the meantime, you know, 5 minutes later, but it's, you know, 3 days over there, another team is actually sent to find out what happens. And they're more prepared because they have biological, like chemical suits and shit like that. And so they go, this movie is very much like if you would take Aliens and The Thing, it's very on board with that. Nice. It's, you know, a sci-fi biological horror film. I mean, it's very much in vain of, you know, those two films, like I mentioned, Event Horizon, Pandorum. Very much on the line of that, which is just a lot of fun because this is something that's also extremely story driven, and it's a 2-hour movie too, and they spend their time with the action and then they spend their time with the character development.
Cool.
So pretty intense, but I mean everything in this film looks fantastic. Like it's surprising that something like this obviously has to cost a lot of money. Because it looks expensive. Mm-hmm. Like nothing looks cheap. Because I mean, sci-fi films are the one thing that if you do cheaply, you notice it.
Yeah.
And it's tough. This one, there's even like a sequence where this guy's at home and he like looks over the balcony and it's just total like Blade Runner-esque, like, you know, big city, you know, cars flying by, and it looks really, really good. I mean, it's just a, like, you know, it's a wide shot. But it looks really, really good. And it's surprising that this movie didn't go to theaters. Hmm. I think it's in theaters now, but it's extremely limited.
Yeah. It's an Australian film, but, isn't it?
I don't know. I didn't notice anybody had any accents.
No, it looks like it was, I'm on IMDb, so who knows now.
Oh, of course.
I was trying to see why the hell it wouldn't have a, you know, theatrical release. It says country Australia, so I don't know.
Brad, what's this one called again?
And Infinity.
I saw a trailer on Apple QuickTime, whatever.
Sounds yeah, really it's cool. I-N-F-I.
Oh, I-N-F-I-N-I.
Yeah, that's right. Damn. Well, too many I's in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just really, and like there's no one in it that's like very recognizable. Luke Hemsworth, one of the Hemsworth brothers is in it.
Yeah.
But, other than that, it's really funny because they have, like the team that goes in, they're all like have specialties, but they really don't utilize them, but they talk about them. And I thought that was kind of cool. There's actually a guy who's kind of a gun nut, but he doesn't really fit, like, that doesn't transpire to, like, him, like, using machinery and fucking guns and blowing up shit. But, you know, they're, like, always, like, oh, we have, you know, but his name is Rex Mannings. So, like, every time they say Rex Manning, I fucking crack up. And I was like, why would you choose that name? Like, obviously, I mean, I don't know if the same people that love Empire Records are watching, you know, Infinite. But, like, I just kept laughing. I was like, oh, it's Rex Manning Day.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, definitely highly recommend it. I really hope this film does well because it's such a fucking kick-ass movie.
You know,
really is.
The director, Shane Abess, he directed a 2007 movie called Gabriel.
Oh, The Angel. Yeah. It was a decent
which
film.
I hear was all right. I've been wanting to watch it, but
yeah. So I'm really hoping that with something like this, because I mean, I really want to know what the budget was, because if it was low, he utilized every penny and made something that doesn't look at all. There's like nothing in the film where you're like, oh, those special effects look weak.
Well, that's what that's what a good director does. Like, if it looks cheap, they don't use it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what a good
even the thing that looks like things that could look cheap don't.
Huh. Okay.
So, you know, I want to say this is like a, you know, a $15 million movie, but it doesn't. When you look at it, I don't think it is, unless. Being that it was, you know, kind of a foreign film, depending if it was made in Australia, I mean, obviously there's government tax breaks and, you know, mm-hmm. the government helps with the film industry there and everywhere else other than the United States.
Well, Luke Hemsworth is from Australia, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very well could be, and, yeah. You know, but anyways, like, it's definitely worth a watch, and I really hope that it catches on and becomes kind of, you know, that hit on VOD and also when it hits Blu-ray, because it's definitely going to be a favorite, I guarantee you.
I saw the trailer and I was in, so I was waiting for this to, I thought it was going to come to theaters, but yeah, I'll be VODing this very soon.
Yeah, it's, sure. And plus you like a lot of sci-fi movies.
Space
and
horror is like, where's that? I love it.
Yeah, this is definitely, I mean, it's like, it's almost like a love letter to Event Horizon and The Thing. It's exactly cool. What it is, but it's a total like kind of mind fuck as well.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Let's move along, shall we? This week we are talking about Satan's Blade. It got a release through All of Films. Of course, it's a slasher video title. But before we get to that, Brad and I saw Mad Max Fury Road.
In this wasteland, I am the one who runs from both the living and the dead. A man reduced to a single instinct. Survive.
It is by my hand. You will rise from the ashes of this world.
We are not beings. We are not dead.
Where is she taking them? I want them back! They're my property!
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Want to get through this?
Go.
We have to take a little bit of time, and we don't really do theatrical flicks on this podcast, but I think
no. And plus, before you turn it off or fast forward, this is going to be a super, because also we have Brian who hasn't seen it,
right?
So you don't have to worry about, you know, tuning out, because we're actually, I don't want to talk about anything that happens in the film itself, really.
Right.
I just want to talk kind of mostly the importance of a film like this. So,
do you have anything to add?
Or you just want to fly off my wings, spread my wings and fly?
Well, you brought it up, man.
I believe I can soar.
You brought it up, man. So go ahead and start this off.
Yeah.
I'm a huge yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where all the hype's going on right now, yeah. And you know, this film's been 30 years in the making. I remember making a fake Fury Road trailer when I was in high school. you know, using other apocalyptic movies with the hero song from Beyond Thunderdome from Tina Turner.
Nice.
But, you know, when this came out, I mean, I was there 7 p.m. on Thursday. I was ready. You know, 'cause it's something I've been waiting a long time to see. And just like how I said, this is going to be a spoiler free, segment about Mad Max Fury Road. I went in completely blind. Mm-hmm. I did not watch one, like, fucking 5 trailers or some bullshit. I didn't watch one trailer. I didn't see one clip. All I saw were pictures. And I saw, you know, pictures of Charlize Theron. I saw, you know, Mad Max. I saw the villain. I saw one thing that kind of upset me because it, you know, I didn't know that it was in the movie. And I'm not going to say what it is because it's a spoiler-free episode. So I went in completely blind. I don't know if that was kind of a good idea or a bad idea in a way, hindsight, because after I watched the movie, I'm sitting there like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, this doesn't belong in 2015. It doesn't belong. It doesn't belong as a summer movie. Yeah. Like, to kickstart the summer, this does not belong. Like, I'm saying it does, but in a way, it just doesn't feel like it. Like, this movie feels like it was made in 1986. And I'm really hoping that people kind of get it because it's fun, it's cheesy, it has some of the most ridiculous dialogue that you'll hear. It has some spectacular stunts. You know, it's a great mix of utilizing CGI when it's needed and using practical effects as well. So, like, it honestly, thinking back, and you know, it's a studio film because obviously it's Hollywood, but this film to me personally doesn't feel like a studio film. This feels like kind of like an independently made sci-fi action film. Well, I think, which I think that needs to be looked at a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the studio, I think it's Warner Brothers, right? I think they were,
yeah, like Village Roadshow, Warner, yeah, Brothers, all that. Yeah.
I think they were smart enough to just give George Miller the reins. I can understand. I mean, which is amazing because, I mean, he's done his filmography is so off the charts. Like,
yeah,
so
he's never really had a bomb, you know.
But yeah, but he's done like Babe, Pig in the City, and Happy Feet.
Babe, Pig in the City rules, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, I've never seen it, but
oh,
you've
dude,
never seen Babe?
No.
Dude,
which,
like,
one?
Even the hardest core.
Or is,
like,
is it Babe? Maybe it's not Babe in this City.
No, he did. He produced. No. He produced the first one and he directed the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second one's better, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah, Pig in the City is great.
Wow.
Yeah. I know it sounds weird to you. It sounds weird to hear Brad say Pig in the City is great. But seriously, dude, it's so good. It's like it's like a Terry Gilliam movie. It's just so good. Anyway.
Yeah.
They trusted George Miller enough to just give him the reins and give him the money he needed to get this film done. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen often, especially it doesn't happen with young filmmakers for sure. They're all reined in. It seems like Ridley Scott gets reined in, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't happen with old established filmmakers either. It's a total weird phenomenon.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is just, it's amazing that this film exists and is getting the wide release. And like, I love the Mad Max films. I started backwards when I was a kid. I saw Beyond Thunderdome first, and then I saw Road Warrior, and then I saw Mad Max. So, like, I'm a huge fan of that world and everything, and anything post-apocalyptic. And I was like, I was so excited. I was like shaking before the film. Were you shaking, Brad? I was like so excited. Like
I wasn't excited. I was more or less nervous because, really? But I think once it started, like, my adrenaline started pumping early.
Yeah.
But this movie, like, one thing that Miller always kind of gets, one thing that you always notice about George Miller is his pacing. of his films. You know, even like we talked about with the, you know, when we talked about Mad Max on the last episode, it's very oddly paced. I mean, Max doesn't get mad until like an hour and 10 minutes in the movie. And even Road Warrior, it takes that, you know, a while to build up, till that kind of climax.
Yeah.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, like it takes a while in order for it to actually.
That was almost two movies.
Yeah, and it's kind of bizarre. Mm-hmm. And even though this film does what we wanted in all the other three, it's still oddly paced because we want those car chases and we want kind of the batshit craziness to start off. And he does that immediately in this movie, but never stops. This movie's 2 hours long, but this movie is an hour and 40 minutes of high speed chases.
Right. 20 minutes of a little, there's a few little breaths throughout the film, and it's so
but it's them trying to be like, let's get back on the road.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, like, guys, give me a fucking break. But utilizing that to the extent of keeping your adrenaline pumping, they also fucking tell a story while the action is happening. And I think that is fucking brilliant. Like, we actually have exposition. We have our story being told. We have character development.
Yep.
We have characters developing while the chase is happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck, George Miller? Like, this is, I mean, I think this is the arcs in the characters themselves. The story arcs with, like, between, you know, Max, between Furiosa, you know, even Hux, you know, Hux is one of those essential characters that you don't think is going to be.
Yes.
And it's kind of those little guys that, you know, transpire to something bigger. And, you know, this is unlike anything that exists now, or you know even the last, like, you know what,
god man, it's been a while since I've seen a movie like this, especially in the theater, and a movie that doesn't pander to the audience, that doesn't spoon feed everyone. They do what films should do, and they tell a story visually as opposed to just characters standing around talking. We have so many movies where, especially sci-fi and fantasy films, where it's just characters standing around for like 10 minutes giving exposition.
Let's do the info dump real quick.
Right. Info dump in this.
And, you know, that's fine. If it's presented well, you have good actors, there's no complaints on that. Right. But it's refreshing to actually see, you know, something new and creative. Like, it's not the revolution of filmmaking or anything, but it's definitely something to be noted. And as well, as a side note, you know, going off in another direction of this conversation, is that this film is extremely important to me personally. And, you know, a couple other ways is because, like we said, they gave George Miller $150 million to make this movie. He made this movie for $150 million, and it's a summer blockbuster. That doesn't happen. So we need to support something like this, because that means that later on, if they see that these old filmmakers are coming back and making something like this, maybe they'll continue to do so.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll, you know, these are the types of films that we watch at a festival, and it becomes a festival favorite, and then IFC picks it up, and then we watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray. Right. That's the type of movie that this feels like. This doesn't feel like your general audience will enjoy it or like it, and I hope that they do. And, you know, going through Twitter and just hitting the hashtag and, like, kids and stuff that are praising the movie, I'm like, yes, you know, I'm glad that people are actually not saying, well, that was stupid. You know, it feels old. It's cheesy. It's corny. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you also have to think that, like, this is the fucking apocalypse. People are crazy in general, you know. But more importantly, one thing that I definitely hope that carries on and people really notice is that this is a feminist action movie as well. Like, we have Max is a fucking sub character almost. And we kind of tell that right off the bat when the first title card pops up and Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron share the same title card.
Yeah.
we have Max and Furiosa, which that didn't really mean anything at first. But also when you realize that the road that they're on isn't called Fury Road. It's called Fury Road because it's Furiosa's road.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that shit. And the things that amount up to it, and I, like I said, spoiler free, there's certain things and certain people that they meet that it becomes more of a fucking feminist action movie and a superhero movie at that.
What, bro?
And
what, bro? What?
Yeah. And this is the same thing as the dudes are like, oh, you know, an action movie with, Mad MaxiPad bullshit that I keep hearing about.
That's just one bullshit website.
Yeah, I mean, that was one dude. But, I mean, still, there's that general thing of, you know, women can't carry a movie their own. The same thing is like how Black Widow doesn't have a movie. Maybe they're not successful because, you know, they're female. I call all that bullshit. This is a perfect example of females kicking ass and running the movie with Max's help.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it after the episode and after Brian leaves. But there's one, you know, because I don't want to spoil it. But I think people will get it. There's one scene in the film that really hit me hard. Almost like I got goosebumps, and it's almost like I think a lot of people will perceive it as a gag in the movie, but I really think it's kind of a torch passing. I'll just tell you, it's between the bullet farmers and a gun that Max has. There's a certain sequence that happens in that movie when something happens and you're like, wow, that's highly, like, that doesn't really happen in movies today. Like, that's, you know what I'm talking about?
I'm drawing a blank. We'll talk about it later, man.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. But there's a sequence when the bullet farmers are after the truck, and they're kind of trying to get going again because it's one of the stopping points. But there's a scene with a gun with Max and Furiosa, and it is fucking great. Okay. And I'm really hoping that, you know, people realize that this is a fun action movie. It's meant to be fun. But also at the same time, this is something that is unlike anything else of the past so many years.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, I can't think of anything that's even close to this.
It's great, and I think, you know, I thought it was worth the hype. I know some people are anti-hype, and all of a sudden we'll get a bunch of naysayers and stuff popping up online and everything. But you know what? I would say this is a movie that needs to be experienced in the theater, and whether you like it or don't like it, it's an experience. It's a roller coaster ride, and it's something that, you know, you should at least give a shot because, yeah, filmmaking like this, the amount of practical effects, the stunts are ridiculous. Like, we don't see stunts like this. Nowadays, they would use a CG double. Not in this film. You know, you got guys dingling off trucks, flying through the air on poles, and it's all practical stunts. So it's something to be seen. But
dude, what about spoiler free still? the sequence with the fucking motorcycle people.
Oh my gosh, man.
With that slide underneath the fucking tank.
Oh my god. It's
Jesus Christ. Stuff. I'm like, how did that person not fucking die? Like, that looks practical.
Yeah.
That is a fucking practical effect. Like, how the fuck did they do that?
Yeah.
And it's awesome because the main stunt guy on Twitter is like getting so much notoriety right now. He's like posted pictures of all the behind the scenes stuff.
Awesome.
But yeah, I mean, even if you like take out the action, take out the story, but just look at the fucking characters in this movie. This is a movie that's super, like, it has so many different characters that share the same screen time.
Yeah,
like it's funny to watch something like it because even
it's
your super
ensemble.
Minor characters, even your minor characters in this film play a big part.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the most like important thing with this film is just the characters alone.
Nice.
Like I really, really felt the characters in this film. So
yeah, here's
go see it, support it because even if you don't like it. Like,
I don't see how anybody can write this film off. Here, I'll leave you guys with this, and then we're going to move on to Satan's Blade. Our good Twitter friend of mine, Tom Nix, says this. Here is his pull quote, but it's too long to be a pull quote. Mad Max Fury Road is like going to see a circus, only the tigers are inside Indy cars, and the Indy cars are inside tanks, and the tanks are on rockets, and the tigers have machine guns, and Guar is playing while riding on the tigers, and the tent is 200 miles wide, and everything is on fire. Go see Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I mean, you're talking like, you know, every film, you know, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, and especially Mad Max, like you sit there and you're wanting something to happen and you're like, oh, man, I really hope they do that. Or, you know, like I was mentioning, like Class of 1999, oh, they're not going to go into school and, you know, fight the teachers.
Yeah.
But like when this thing starts, you're like, they're not going to be on the road for 2 hours, like constantly battling people. Like all these different fucking rival gangs are going to be meeting up and it's just going to be nothing but explosions for 2 hours. But also at the same time, we're going to get a story.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have believed that for a second.
Yep. It's fantastic filmmaking. So support that. Support that shit.
Yeah, all just right. Alone for the stunts, man. Just
oh my God.
Support it for the stunts, because that shit that they pulled was fucking stupid. Jesus Christ. I really can't wait for the special features so we can see what was fake and what wasn't. Because there's some obvious CG moments. But, I mean, there's certain things in there where I'm still, like, puzzled. Like, was that real? Yeah. Really, really want to know.
I want a 2.5 hour making of documentary on the Blu-ray. That's what I want.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Let's let Brian get back in on the show, Brad.
I cannot wait to see it, dude. It's one of those weekends when I'm a little bummed that it's harder for me to get to the theater, you know, because I'm just like, God damn.
It was hard for me. I had to pull some strings and pull some cards, you know. So I had to remind my wife a few things. So remember that one time you went to this? Oh yeah, I'm gonna. All right, gentlemen. Let's move into. I can't believe this is out on Blu-ray after watching it, but
dude, L. This is Scott exactly Castillo what Blu-ray Jr.'s is all about.
Satan's Blade.
It came from hell. Bearing a curse as eternal as the devil himself, bringing with it a siege of madness, terror, and murder. Its horrible power can turn an innocent man into a tool of death and destruction. Beware. Beware the slash of Satan's Blade.
Oh, man. Satan's Blade, guys.
Let's I would like to mention, not to toot my own horn, which I'm going to, but Satan's Blade was on my favorite slashers list that I did.
It was
way back when, like probably last year around this time. I've been a fan of this movie for quite some time, so this is definitely one of my, and will be probably in my top 10 favorite Blu-ray releases. Because just like you, when that was announced, I was like, "Wait, are people gonna like this?" I know this is extremely underseen. You know, mainly because it just had a VHS release. But I went through my little slasher craze. I've fucking seen them all. And, you know, and I'll be the first to say this isn't a great movie, but, damn, dude, this shit's fun as fuck. And it's funny as shit. Like, it has the worst, like, let's just jump into it.
Jump into it, Brad.
It'll still be spoiler free, but there's really nothing to spoil about
this movie. Not at all.
This film has some of the worst fucking ADR that you will ever hear in your entire life. It seems like they didn't even fucking record audio on the film. I mean, there's even a sequence at the end when
there's
the killer.
There's boom mics everywhere. What are you talking about? They recorded.
It was just for show. They just wanted to. They just wanted to show that the film.
Hey, look,
the actors. Yeah, actors on set were actually on a real movie, and it wasn't. It was a fake movie.
Like three or four times that boom mic starts creeping in. It's not creeping in. It's just bleep, boom mic right there.
So, but this is something that, well, I mean, because, I mean, obviously, if you took every film and you made it the, you know, this aspect ratio of like 4:3, whatever.
Was it filmed that way?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've just known this to be on VHS, so this is the way I've always seen it.
Right.
And I know that they could have. I mean, it was filmed on 35, yeah. is what I was told. But, I mean, it's such a poor 35 millimeter that, I mean, growing up, I thought this was a shot on video movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And now, being an HD on Blu-ray, I don't think it has that feel. But, you know, the old VHS tape, this feels like a shot on video movie. Just because of even how the acting and the audio and the special effects and the awful cuts, you know, that's what it looks like. So very, very, very bizarre. But I think that if you took every film and you put this aspect ratio, you're going to see boom mics. It's just that it wasn't a widescreen presentation. So, but if it was a widescreen presentation, I don't think you would have seen it. I don't think they hang that low. I mean, they're quite obvious when they do show. But, yeah, dude, like, what the fuck? I watched it again just recently. You know, I've seen it a few times in my life, but in watching this again, I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck, man? Like, this is so goofy. It really is. And, I don't know if it was on IMDb or maybe a forum. One of the guys that went uncredited as a screenwriter came out and started talking about how awful kind of the whole experience was. Other than making the film itself, he said that was a lot of fun. But, you know, he was one of the screenwriters, and they didn't give him any credit. He didn't see any money. He went to, you know, the premiere. He put like quotation marks around the premiere, I believe. And he just, he said he got drunk and he just fucking started laughing at the entire movie just because of how awful it was. He said it was an enjoyable, experience for the most part because they were making a horror film. But, he just kind of went on about how goofy it was. And he said the original title was like the Bunny Hill. Like Ski Slope Massacre or something. And he said he doesn't know where the name Satan's Blade come up because they just like put the knife in the tree and put like a glowing like horror around it. And he said, I don't know what the fuck that is. Like that wasn't in the script.
Even
like,
even it's the just poster, a fucking killer. The poster, like the poster's amazing. And
yeah, the poster's great. Yeah.
It's awesome. And that does not represent the movie at all. Like Satan's not in it, unfortunately. there is a blade, but like I said, it seems like they just did that blade scene just to kind of, we gotta call this movie this, so we're gonna, you know, throw this little
and the thing is, it's like, for a slasher, I mean, we get kills early on,
yeah,
but dude, this film drags for such a huge portion of the film. Like, you know, we're sitting around watching these people get drunk and have fun, and we're like, who the fuck's going to die? Like, kill somebody, for Christ's sakes. And even, like, the end, like towards the end with the monologue with the killer, the audio completely changes, and it sounds like he's in a fucking room, but they're outside.
Right,
right. It's like, hey, this is the reason why I'm doing this. And it's like, what the fuck happened to the audio? But one thing I will say about the Blu-ray release is it looks really, really good. Obviously the best the film ever has. The audio has been and fixed and tweaked because there is always this like extremely loud popping sound through the VHS. I think it only had one VHS release, but just this kind of like the crackling popping sound, not even because it was, because of the tape, it was on the print, because I know that I was reading that other people were complaining about it. But yeah, man, like this is just something that for hardcore slasher fans, they're going to love it. You really will. For the people that like goofy shit that, just like, you know, kind of like the stuff like, you know, Hide and Go Shriek, Final Exam, you know, The Dorm That Dripped Blood, Slaughter High. Even kind of even like lower class than that, The Last Slumber Party and like Blood Rage, Body Count, stuff like that. That's kind of what you're getting into. It's just that this one's a little more lesser known because of the availability. You know, it wasn't a wide release. It got one VHS release, I think, and then it just disappeared. Which is sad, but you know, I'm glad that it's finding a new home and people are actually watching it and, you know, accepting it. into their, you know, slasher movies and the things that they love, you know, cause I mean, I think everybody has the general consensus is that the movie kind of sucks, but it's fun and it's cool to see something like this.
It's a nice little oddity
on Blu-ray. Yeah. It's something nice to have on Blu-ray and, you know, for the world to see. And big props to, Jesus, who runs Slasher Video, because you can tell that he legitimately likes, films like this, mainly because it's, you know, the films that he has lined up, you know, he has Deadly Prey lined up, he has Killer Workout lined up. There's all these films kind of go hand in hand with one another.
Hey, hold on one second. My kids are up. Let me go grab my little guy and get him all settled with
baseball bat.
I'll be right back. You guys can actually, Brian, if you guys want to keep on going, that's totally fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah, keep
all
going.
Right. All right.
Keep going.
Brad, just a quick side thing. Have you heard anything about when Deadly Prey or Killer Workout might show?
I think that he hinted on those. I think that Deadly Prey, he said, was submitted to Olive and it's ready.
Oh.
But I think that's going to be kind of the same thing with this, because I remember mentioning that when we used to do the Blu-ray announcements, this was originally announced like in January, and then it got pushed back to April and then pushed back to May. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with Olive and these releases. But I'm hoping that they do well enough to actually probably keep that contract going, because, you know, I don't think Olive gets into Walmart and Best Buy and other stores. So I'm hoping that they kind of do the same thing with, you know, slasher titles, because that will do big things for that label and hopefully make money and get more of these, you know, weird oddities.
Yeah. But, I mean, especially with that cover, Satan's Blade could sell pretty well at Walmart, I think, even.
Yeah. You know, and I think that there is an audience for it, because, I mean, all the time we're talking about films, like this, you know, kind of the goofy shit. And you know, it's the films that, you know, play like at, kind of, you know, the midnighters at, you know, Cine Family and, you know, kind of, you know, Zach Carlson loves these types of things and Lars. So I'm hoping that it does, find its audience. Cause I think even kind of the hardest core horror fans, haven't seen this.
Oh no. So, I barely heard of it. I know you're way deeper into this than me on some levels, and, but I barely heard of this one until this.
Yeah, because I'm looking through forums and people are talking and they're just buying it, you know, they're buying it just because.
Which is really cool, I gotta say.
Yeah, which is awesome because, you know, if this is something that you've seen, you kind of know what you're getting into, but I think even the small amount of people that have seen it will still buy it and, you know, support the film, because this is something that, you know, it's truly, I mean, this is kind of what, the reason why I kind of like Blu-ray and these other labels picking up oddities like this. You know, this is kind of the same thing as like Mondo Macabro would pick up. And, you know, I mean, even Screen Factory's picked up a couple oddities here and there. So
yeah,
I'm kind of hoping that it does well. So that kind of, that craze for wanting crazy shit like this, you know, maybe knocks it up a couple notches and we get some, you know, some, maybe even some shot on, I mean, I know I understand some shot on video stuff on Blu-ray is probably not ideal, but at least DVD, you know, what Massacre Video is doing. Cause they just released, what did Massacre?
Spine.
You picked it up. Yeah.
Spine.
Yeah. I can't believe, like, I didn't even know about that, until just a couple weeks ago. I was like, holy shit. Cause Spine is, I mean, Massacre Video has been doing that. I mean, they did Demon Queen, they did Black Devil Doll from Hell, and now they're doing Spine. They're doing, like, the extremely hard-to-find VHS tapes and putting them on DVD. But even Massacre Video said they're going to be doing Blu-rays now.
Yeah,
which is super badass.
Mr. No Legs on Blu-ray, they're hinting at it. I hope it happens.
I'm bad, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're sidetracked on.
Hey, what I miss, guys? What I miss?
We're talking about Massacre Video. Yeah. Massacre
you're
Video. But yeah, Brad, that's the thing. Massacre is, I love all these little labels. You know, I love Massacre. Those guys even go more twisted than I can handle. Like, I picked up Spine, but I'm afraid it's going to be something that's like too much for me, but I love what they do. I want to support them. And they have, obviously no, deal in place like Scorpion or Slasher, where they're getting some kind of backing from a slightly bigger boutique label. So those guys are just doing it, and I love that. But I love all this stuff, as far as, you know, what the titles that are getting out there, and, you know, I mean, we've talked about Olive Films a lot, but and I get that people are kind of bummed that they see a certain title announced from Olive, and they're like, oh, well, shit, no extras on that, fuck. Which, you know, I get it, but, I'm just excited a lot of this shit is getting Blu-ray stuff, because, you know, like Thrashin' and Stone Cold were probably not gonna get special edition treatment. Maybe Stone Cold, but I just want a Blu-ray. So I just love that now.
You're getting an HD master of it, which I mean, and people complain, but where the fuck else are you gonna get an HD master of the movie?
I agree.
Do you have MGM HD on your television and you're, you know, doing TiVo and fucking, do people still do TiVo? I don't know.
I think so.
But you fucking record that shit and then you just have it on your hard drive. Like, at least you have a physical copy, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't care how it really comes. I mean, honestly, like, I love special features, but if it doesn't have it, I'm not gonna cry.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, like, I guess there's just so much to watch now that, like, I don't, like you say, I'm not gonna cry about it. Like, I just love having
I don't have close to the time to watch fucking special. I mean, even the stuff that we talk about, like, I mean, even Sean and I discussed that on the podcast. It's like, we're covering these titles, but we're not really covering special features. Well, it's because we just don't have the time, because we want to watch, you know, all this other shit. Like, sometimes special features can take up a couple hours.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's a couple hours that we don't have or something else we could cover and talk about. I mean, and plus, if people explain the special features to you, I think they kind of lose their importance. I mean, you can talk about how great the special features are. Like, I think a commentary now with Brian Bosworth on Stone Cold would be fucking hilarious.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my
but,
God.
You know, if we don't get it, we just don't get it, which we won't. Yeah. But, I mean, we still get Stone Cold on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But,
I just
Satan's Blade has special features.
Yeah, it does. I watched them. And they were okay. You know what? Actually, they're kind of perfect because they're shot in this really awkward way. Like, there's two interviews with the director. One of they should look like they're shot in a hotel room probably, but it looks like a kitchen table. One of them is really poorly lit and has like these two gigantic microphones like pointing at the guy interviewing who's like reading off a clipboard and the director. So like it really, I know it's not necessarily intentional. I don't mean to put down the Slasher and their production of this stuff, because there's some interesting info in them, but one of them looks terrible, and it just kind of fits with, you know, Satan's Blade. I don't know. It's anyway.
Well, what I was going to ask is that I actually haven't watched the special features, and I actually meant to before we did this show, but there was there long ago, a few years ago, there were some people that I think it was the Hysteria Continues guys that actually found the filmmakers and did interviews and uploaded them to YouTube.
Oh.
Were these newly conducted interviews or were those interviews?
These look new. These don't, there was no indication.
Oh, okay.
Hysteria. Now I gotta go look those up.
Because on YouTube you can find the old school interviews, and I thought that's maybe what they uploaded, but maybe not.
No. It's funny because, like I said, the first one's underlit and kind of a little stiff as far as the question and answer. But then there's a second interview, and it's almost like the director was like, all right, well, that didn't go as well as I hoped. Let's do another one, and I'll bring in props. So he's got, like, props from the movie. He's got VHS tapes. But what's funny is that he stands up at the beginning of the interview to handle the props, and so he just – you see basically half his torso – for the rest of the interview, and
oh,
it's just
my
his
gosh.
Aunt. So, like, anyway, I'm that's again amazing. Not putting it down because he comes out.
Did Bill Olson do it?
No, there were no craft service questions, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
So did you guys have, like, pizza and stuff? Were there any homeless people that came up and ate food?
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, it's, you know, the director comes out with some interesting stuff. Just talking about how hard it was to sell the movie to different studios. And then I started thinking about, you know, what the studios were seeing when they watched the movie and anything. You know, because wasn't this shot in, like, 82 and it took them, like, 2 years or 81? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was 81 and came out, like, in 83 maybe.
84 is what they list on IMDb, but I don't even know. So it's two or 3 years they had to try and...
It's a tough sell when you have, you know, the juggernauts of that time, you know, Friday the 13th and all these other bigger slashers like this one. Like, if you go back in time and compare this to anything that was in theaters or even the drive-ins at that time, like, this is a pale comparison, you know, or it's just, it's not on the same level as these other ones at all, you know. I mean, it's entertaining now, but I wonder what people would have thought. Like, say you went to the drive-in and saw Friday the 13th and then you saw this, you know, would you just, you know, peace on out and head out, you know, halfway through the film, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think at this time, people were kind of used to these cheaply made knockoffs. I mean, because, okay. I mean, it's not like these things didn't exist. I mean, this goes in numerous, you know, I don't know if any of kind of the shot on video films, I think only one shot on video film had, like, kind of a wider release. Hmm. But I mean, if you saw something like Blood Rage and then you saw this, I don't think you would think twice about it.
Okay.
Because it's just, I mean, watching it for me, this shit's normal. you know, it's nothing out of the ordinary. If you don't watch films like this, then you're going to sit there and, you know, probably claw your eyes out. Or wonder what the fuck is going on. You know, this is definitely, there's way things that are more or less kind of like an endurance test other than this.
Oh yeah, no, it's not. I mean, this is entertaining, I mean, for sure.
I consider watching Science Crazed and See If You Can Do It.
Oh man.
That's an endurance test.
that movie is a trip, man. That movie is just,
I mean, that is obviously people saying, hey, like, sitting around eating a sandwich saying, you want to make a movie? Sure. All right, get the camera, go in the hallway and drag your feet for an hour. You know, and that's legitimate. That's kind of what happens in Science Craze.
It's true, but you can almost look at it as an experimental film, but you can tell it's obviously not that. It's just somebody that doesn't know how to make a movie. But
yeah,
it's still, I found it mesmerizing. I don't know, man, but it is hard. I wouldn't recommend it.
Right, but I think something like this, even was like, hey man, you know, these guys that are making The Burning and Friday the 13th are making bank and these movies are making millions of dollars. What's so hard about throwing a bunch of kids in a cabin and killing them?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is, but I give the movie some credit because it really does have a decent score.
Which sounds like a silent movie score, by the way, because it's kind of like piano-y and...
Yeah, someone's rocking the heck out of that Casio. Let me tell you, they were.
But at the same time, like, even sometimes when the audio's playing, you don't. There's no audio. There's no dialogue. Like, even like the beginning of the film with the, like, when the woman goes to the door and the gun is placed against the door, and then the woman in the background, she just mouths something, but you don't hear anything come out.
Yeah.
It's just that they just weren't fucking recording audio or just lost it, one of the two. Hmm. So.
Yeah, that score was insanely repetitive.
But I mean, it's a different caliber, but I mean, Halloween does the same thing. I mean, it's one standardized thing. I mean, yes, it's good. It works. It's at the right place. This one, not so much.
I feel like there was a point in the recording the score where the guy just started improvising and just trying to, like, show off. Sometimes they're like, wow, that's way too many notes in a short amount of time for that little piano. Like, they're just going to town. And it's hilarious.
And it's almost very much, Brian, have you ever seen Offerings?
Offerings.
It's the guy obsessed with, you know, there are little kids and he obsessed over her. Now she's in high school. So he stalks her one night and, like, leaves her shit at her door.
No, like I gotta see
somebody's
this one,
ear or some shit. Well, anyways, the guy that did the score to that, he used the theme to Halloween, but he takes out two notes and he plays it like, you know, 10 times slower. And that's kind of what this even feels like. We're inspired by Carpenter's music, so we kind of make our own. Because, I mean, I kind of feel like those certain Halloween sequences in this. I can see that of them trying to emulate that because that's what was successful. But you had to, in order to pitch it to a studio, you know, pitch to people to make money for producers, you have to make something that people are like, that can relate it to. So I think that they used Halloween as kind of their formula. I mean, obviously it doesn't translate out too well because, I mean, you have a guy that made one movie in his life and they probably filmed it over a period of 10 days versus, you know, I mean, it was obvious, you know, Carpenter's like, you know, second feature.
Yeah.
But, you know, he knew how to make a movie. I mean, he was extremely talented. He made shorts before. But, I mean, this is coming from a guy that thought he could make a slasher movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny to see.
The one part of this film that I thought was really, actually, really good and had a little bit of a creep factor was the dream sequence near the beginning of the film.
Yeah. That's really, really good.
It's super good. Like when there's the silhouette of him driving the knife into the woman, like that's like brutal, but you don't see anything. You're only seeing the silhouettes. Like,
yeah, but he hits like he's like oh, fucking dude. Punching her with that knife.
Yeah,
and yeah. Then, oh, that, yeah.
It's a brutal sequence. That, and you know, there's even a scene where he just like looks at the camera.
Yeah,
and you know, he's got that mask or whatever.
The mask is, dude. I was gonna say the mask is really good and subtly creepy too.
Yeah,
and not to spoil, but it's too bad it doesn't show up too much later. Like, I thought we might get more of that, and I.
It reminds me a lot of the Terror Train conductor mask.
Yeah, definitely like that.
Yeah.
So there's like brief moments like that where I'm like, wow, that's like actually really good slasher filmmaking. Like, you know, but you know,
you sound. That's probably what the producer said too.
And they probably only showed them that scene.
They were probably like, this is what we're going to do. And they're like, man, that sounds really good right now. Yeah. And then they come up with that. But I mean, like I said, if you're into, you know, schlock like this, you're going to love it. I mean, if you're looking for, you know, the Burning, Friday the 13th, Halloween type slasher, you might as well go somewhere else. Cause I mean, you're definitely not going to get that.
Cool. I mean, it's cool seeing slasher video actually have this platform with all of films. And I know Jesus Turan, he runs slasher video.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
He's going to be putting out, he's talking about doing some sort of limited run of different Blu-ray inserts because all of, I guess, took an old, like an ad that they whipped together.
Yeah, it's not what he said originally posted.
Right, it's not what he approved.
Else. Yeah,
they basically took an ad that they had created and made it into the cover, which was, you know, it's a stupid little fake sticker, and you know, it's all right. But I mean, if you want the original cover, I believe he's going to be printing like a limited run of them. If you try to find slash a video on Facebook, facebook.com/. You know, an actual slash and then write slasher video. Go there and keep tabs on that because he was kind of mulling it over in one of the Facebook groups I'm a member of. And it sounds like it's going to go forward. So that would be cool if he did that. Or he may even offer it for download. But it would be cool if he actually printed hard copies up, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd pay a few bucks for it for sure. But anyway, guys, anything else on...
You didn't talk about Satan's Blade.
I think I've said enough about Satan's Blade. I fell asleep watching it, and I had to wake up and like rewind, and then rewatch the end.
I bet you kind of debated rewinding it.
I did. I was like, you know what? I should just say fuck it and go. Just pretend I watched the whole thing.
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some really funny fucking moments, like when they're renting the cabin And, you know, the woman's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, we have one cabin. Yeah. Like, a murder happened there yesterday.
Yeah. We'll get it cleaned up for you really quick.
We've cleaned up real quick.
And they don't even really do a good job cleaning up.
Blood on the wall still.
Yeah, but then it's like, what happened? All right, gather around. Here's the story of the mountain man. A giant man that lived with his family up on the hill. And he was cursed, and it's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what are we making right now?
Yeah,
you know, and there's no, like, even production value to make the film, you know, longer. You would think to make it fun, they would have some ski scenes.
No skiing. There's some fishing.
Fishing. People go.
But there was fishing
fish.
Instead. Like, why isn't the lake frozen, bro? Like, the guys out there just drinking a beer on a rock. Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, little info dumps all the time. And then, like, one of my favorite sequences is when the two cops are sitting together. I really hope my first murder case goes good. Wait a second. You're doing this case with me, so technically this is your first murder case. Oh, yeah. I just hope we can catch the guy.
That's
hint,
pretty much
hint,
how, that's,
like, I
that's
mean,
on par with that's you're Brad, you're actually better than most of the actors in the film right there. That was a better line reading than I heard the whole movie.
But it's absolutely like everything's just really flat, especially when the ADR comes in.
Yeah.
It's really, and the same thing is when they're turning the hill in order to actually get there, and each car has their like little dialogue sequence about going up to the hill. It reminds me so much of Rock and Roll Nightmare. And especially kind of that same yeah. You know, music yeah. that happens as well. It's just, everything about the film is hysterical to me.
Rock and Roll so, Nightmare needs a Blu-ray release.
I was just thinking that exactly, Sean. I totally want a Blu-ray of Rock and Roll Nightmare.
Yeah.
It happened. That and Black Roses need to come out on Blu-ray.
Yep.
And Trick or Treat needs a good Blu-ray.
Well, Black Roses has a blue. It, actually, the Trick or Treat, the Black Roses Blu-ray is a lot better than the Trick or Treat Blu-ray from Germany.
Okay. Good to know.
So the audio is actually decent enough in that one. It's not horrendous.
Now that I have an Amazon Germany account, I may have to look it up.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Let's move on into our pick of the week. And then I forgot to mention this earlier. Did I mention it? We're going to be giving away Blood and Black Lace on Blu-ray today.
Oh, so contest. So,
contest. Let's do the contest first so you guys can gather your thoughts and send us an email. Our email is readme@thescreamcast.com.
Uh-huh.
Brad is not eligible. Neither is Brian.
Damn it.
Dude, like this... This is some bullshit.
Sorry,
it really
man.
Is.
Sorry,
like it's some bullshit. Because I mean, what if I had? I'm going to answer. What's
well,
the question?
It's probably going to be right up your alley. But
what's up your alley?
We want to hear from you guys on the most obscure slasher you've ever seen, other than Satan's Blade, if you've seen it. That's you know, what's the most obscure slasher you've ever seen? You can hate it or love it, but let us know the story.
And it's got to be obscure. It can't be fucking, you know, Final Exam or some shit. Basically, how about this? How about if we tweak it? Can I tweak it?
I don't know, man. Let me hear it first.
All right. It can't have a recent, within the last 7 years, a DVD release or Blu-ray release.
Oh, my God. That's.
Dude, there's a shit ton out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a fuck ton. Trust me, I know this.
Okay, most obscure slasher that hasn't had a DVD or Blu-ray release in the last 7 years. So you're relegating this to VHS?
No, I mean, there's DVDs from 10 years ago.
Oh, DVDs
from 10
years. Okay, okay. A DVD
15, yeah. I'm saying in the, like, kind of, I would say the last 5-7 years, we've seen an increase of kind of the, you know, the fan favorites and weird films that have been coming out. So it can't.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Brad?
Just for a second.
I don't know what the hell happened. Yeah.
So it can't what, Brad?
I was saying, like, it just can't have that, you know, recent, you know, because what I was saying is that in the past, like, 5-7 years, we've seen these films come out. You know, something like Final Exam was kind of odd and an oddity, but now, like, it's had that kind of mass release.
Okay.
And okay. A ton of people have seen it. So, I mean, surprise us with a title.
Surprise us, please. You know? And if you surprise us, we will read your email on the show. Well, how's that? If, nice. You know.
Well, we want to read them all.
I know, but your emails better be damn good is all I got to say.
Yeah.
It would be great if there's a story involved and people you watched it with and stuff like that. But anyway, email us, readme@thescreamcast.com, and put Blood and Black Lace Contest in the subject. And good luck, everyone. I'll also throw in a Blu-ray of The Long Goodbye.
Oh.
How's that?
Whoa.
Two Arrow Blu-rays for this contest.
Damn.
All right.
Whoa.
Bam. All right, gentlemen, let's move into our picks of the week. Brad, what's your pick of the week, good sir?
Oh, I go first?
Yeah. I spread the love around.
You know, you are sometimes one of the nicest people I know.
Thank you. oh, God.
my pick of the week is a film that came out in 2001. It's a vampire movie. I think I talked about it before, but I would like to talk about it again. It's called The Forsaken. It's directed by J.S. Cardone. It has Keir Smith, Brendan Freer, the one dude from Felicity. You know, what's his name? Jonathan Scratch, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Simon Rex is in it, too. But it is a guy that cuts movie trailers needs to take a vintage car from one destination to the other, going the back roads. But he's also going to meet his, like, I think it's for his sister's wedding. And he gets in middle of a slayer tracking vampires. And they have an all out desert battle. When you look at the cover, it looks kind of like maybe, what's that guy that directed the Brotherhood movies?
Let's just say it's one.
I'm asking Brian.
I'm blanking, man. I'm totally blanking.
He's David DeCudo. Like, oh, it looks okay. Like those, like, oh, dudes have their shirts off movies, you know. It's actually really, really good. Like, you know, it's got some great special effects. It's got a cool story. The ending sequence at the farm is fucking great. Definitely kind of a really, really underrated, horror film. I mean, mainly because I think I got pushed under the rug. It was kind of maybe a direct-to-video thing you would see. I mean, it did hit theaters, but I think it had that direct-to-video look. So it never really went anywhere. And it had no stars other than Keir Smith at the time that was the gay dude on Dawson's Creek. So it really didn't have anybody popular or major at the time.
This is one that I skipped over. I would see it at the video store and just keep on walking.
Yeah, no, it's you're gonna feel really silly after you watch it.
Damn it, I'm gonna have to check it out now.
It's a really decent movie.
You've been
it's one of my favorite vampire movies, other than probably like Full Eclipse. So.
And you've been doing really well in these picks of the week, man. I've actually The Breed, you know, I checked that out. That was awesome. So
yeah, I'm a fan of that.
Surprisingly, Brad's picks have been really good.
What was my last one?
I don't remember.
Wow.
I think it was something that I'd seen already or something. But
you don't even know.
It's written down. I've written down somewhere.
Have you written down somewhere?
All right. Brian, what's your pick of the week?
I'm sorry I always do this. I have two, but I'll be really brief on the first one.
He's making up for all the shows he can't make.
Exactly. Okay, first, really quick, another slasher title that is not on Blu-ray, but it's on DVD. I think it's still in print, maybe not. Boarding House, which is just a ridiculous...
Slasher Video put that out.
Yeah. It's just a ridiculous Amityville Horror kind of apartment building. It's super weird, man. But if you like Satan's Blade, I feel like...
Yeah, it's definitely that type of obscurity.
Yeah, you dig it. It's shot on video. I can't remember if they transferred to film after, but I'd love to see a Blu-ray upgrade. I don't know that Slasher's necessarily going to do that kind of thing. Anyway, that movie's nuts. Absolutely nuts. Check it out.
Sorry, what was the name of that?
Boarding House.
Boarding House.
Write it down.
Okay. But then in the slasher vein... And we may have talked about... I feel like we talked about this one on the show at some point. I know Brad's... I think you're a fan of it. Wacko.
Yeah. We talked about that on the...
Slasher episode? Yeah.
No. We talked about it with the director. Shit. Just dropped
blank. Oh, Great on Clark. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it with him. Yeah, the lawnmower thing.
Yeah, it's a slasher spoof, and it's one that doesn't really have a decent DVD release. I have, like, an import that doesn't feel totally legit. So I would love to see one of these obscure companies or these smaller companies grab Wacko, and put it out in a nice format because it's a lot of fun. It's got Andrew Dice Clay, Jonan Baker, George Kennedy, and it's just like a really silly, like high school mystery slasher thing. But
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's got E.G. Daly in it too. She's awesome. But yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it's underseen because it's not really readily available, and I want somebody to pick it up, so please, one of you labels, pick it up and put it out. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's very much like kind of a Student Bodies and Pandemonium type thing.
I think it's the best of those, and I like Student Bodies and Pandemonium, but I think it's better than those other two, personally.
Yeah. Very nice.
Okay. Fun, personally.
All
right.
I love all those movies, though, dude.
Yeah, no, they're always a lot of fun.
Cool. My pick of the week, I'm going to have to self-censor a little bit because I have a 2-year-old staring at me right now. What's up, buddy? I kind of, you know, all post-apocalyptic stuff and Brad's talking about sci-fi stuff. I pulled Galaxy of Terror off my shelf, and this has a Shout Factory Blu-ray release, and this is when Shout Factory first started kind of diving into like Roger Corman and kind of the horror side of things even more, right before Scream Factory was in existence. Fantastic Blu-ray, by the way. But this movie is just so batshit crazy, and the reason why I wanted to check it out was because, 2-year-old's gone. James Cameron was involved in a scene where a giant, like, maggot, rapes one of the women. And the premise is, like, you know the scene in Ghostbusters where Zool tells them to choose their fate or whatever they think?
Yeah.
And then the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes? Well, gee, what's going on over there? Brad, you okay?
What are you talking about?
I hear a bunch of noise.
I was talking.
This is the basically a sci-fi setup where a team kind of goes to rescue another team or try to find some survivors at this place, and basically any of their deepest, darkest fears come to kill them. It's an ancient.
Is one of them Stay Puft?
No. Like I said, a giant maggot. For some reason, this woman had a fear of a giant maggot raping her. I don't know.
Don't we all?
I do.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, Sid Haig is in it, and it's just a really wacky, just a crazy film. And I had never seen it before. I'd never heard of it before. And I remember watching it the first time. I was just, like, leaning forward in my seat, like, what the hell am I watching? So it's a weird kind of it's a slasher in a sense where, you know, everyone is going to be meeting their fates, right? But the weird, it just gets weird because it's all of their deepest, darkest fears, and these people have some messed up fears. So it's well worth a watch. The Blu-ray is fantastic. I really recommend any of these Blu-rays that Scream or that Shout Factory put out.
The Corman Classics or whatever.
They didn't relegate only to Corman stuff. It's they kind of branched off and stuff that he was maybe sort of a little bit involved in, or New World Pictures was involved in, but But this line of stuff is great. You know, there's Forbidden Zone, Galaxy of Terror, and then they move into Battle Beyond the Stars and stuff like that. So, just great stuff all around. So, and that's my pick of the week, gentlemen. Have you guys seen Galaxy of Terror? Do you have any thoughts?
Yes,
on it?
I dig it.
Long time.
Yeah. I dig it, man. I dig
it's
it.
It's awesome. The funny thing is, like, the cover that they used has nothing to do with the film at all. But like, what I like is they also back then were doing the flip covers, where you can flip it around, and it used to be called Mind Warp. It's another alternate title.
Hmm.
Mind Warp and Infinity of Terror.
Oh, good stuff. I need you to relax.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. I think for this week's show. No, Brian, excited. Glad to have you back, sir.
Thank you, man. So much.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Brian.
Just said thank you very much. Pleasure to be back.
You can, of course, we are sponsored by Coffee Shop of Horrors. Use Screamcast as your coupon code when checking out, and you get 10% off. Go to coffeeshopofhorrors.com. And next month, we should be giving away some more coffee. I've been slacking in my order, so I need to place an order so I can get some samples for everybody.
You've been slacking.
I know, man. Also, oneofus.net, check out their shows, other shows, check them out. And then nerdly.co.uk, give that site a visit. And really want to thank them for their support. Thank you for your support. I'm running for office now. And, of course, go to thescreamcast.com. We have mugs available and some shirts available. So if you want to show your support for the show, we'd love to send some crap out to you. And, of course, that's about it. That's all I got for the plugs.
Thank God.
I know. Sorry. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Go through thescreamcast.com. You'll find links right there, just so Brad doesn't go insane.
Oh.
He hates the plugs, but dude, we get new listeners every week. We gotta let them know. Gotta let everyone know. Okay. All right, and with that, after you know, so Brad can go have his aneurysm. All you guys have a great week. I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. Party's just begun.
Whisper by.
Yes, just the creepy whisper.
It's fantastic.
It works.
A creepy, careless whisper.
Anyway, are we ready to do this?
Ready.
I am not ready, but we will go ahead.
Do you need a second?
No, I'll just wing it like I usually do. It's no different from any other episode.